to stay in a holy place. And then you meditate on one mantra, which is to do with one pastime. He says that here, confined to one pastime. So one focuses on a particular mantra, which is to do with a particular pastime, and you stay in a suitable place, perhaps connected with the pastime, and you meditate on the mantra on that one pastime, and then you try to become perfect like that. You understand the idea? Anyway, at the bottom of page 7, he makes the point that on the Swarasiki level, it's different. One enters the pastimes and one is just swept from one pastime to another, because one has actually entered the spiritual, that non-manifest platform of the spiritual reality. Yes, where Krishna is with all his devotees and everyone on the transcendental platform. Okay. Now, he gives it, going over to page 8, he gives an example of such a mantra. This is one of those special mantras which, if you meditate on this mantra, it's to do with a pastime. And if you do it nicely and you really become perfect in it, then you can realize Krishna and come to that perfect stage of developing love of God. So we see that this mantra here on page 8, top of page 8, is Kleem Krishnaya Govindaya Gopijana Vallabhaya Swaha. Page 8, top of page 8 is Kleem Krishnaya Govindaya Gopijana Vallabhaya Swaha. Any of you who are second initiated would obviously recognize this mantra immediately as being our sixth Gayatri mantra, which all second initiated devotees chant. So this is one of these special mantras which are, you know, like to do with the spiritual realm. And when you chant it nicely, it'll take you into the spiritual realm. Not only will it take you, well, it will take you into it. Why it will take you into the spiritual realm is because it forms part of the spiritual realm. It is a mantra form of part of the spiritual realm. Do you get the idea there? This is where the yantra comes in. Let us take out our yantras. This yantra we'll be discussing today, for the rest of today, and also tomorrow. So in the middle is Kleem. Those of you who can't read Sanskrit, the very central character, you've got the dot on the top right-hand side, right? Everyone's with me? Got it the right way up? So, the central part then is a hexagon, right? You got it? The very central part is a hexagon, six-sided figure. Now again, well, I don't know how many of you can read Hindi or Sanskrit, but this mantra we just read, Kleem Krishnaya Govindaya Gopijana Vallabhaya Swaha, is inscribed on the interior of the hexagon. Above the kleem is the word Krishnaya. Then going around to your right is the word Govindaya. Going further around is Gopijana. Then the very bottom part, the word is Vallabhaya. Then coming up on the left-hand side is Swa. And going up to the top on the left-hand side is Ha. Now, this hexagon is the world. The hexagon here that we're looking at here is a diagrammatical form. Actually, this whole picture, this yantra, is a diagrammatical form of Gokula. And the hexagon we just went around is the world, shown diagrammatically. Just as Krishna is present in his holy name, Hare Krishna. So that is sound vibration which can be perceived by material means. So it is also possible to express these transcendental things diagrammatically. And that is called a yantra. A yantra is like a diagrammatical form of a mantra. I hope we're not getting too lost here. So, these words then, Kleem Krishnaya Govindaya Gopi Jana Vallabhaya Swaha, they form the six sides of the world. So when you meditate on this mantra, you are actually meditating on the very center of Gokula, where Krishna is. And the clean part is none other than Radha and Krishna. Have we succeeded in bewildering? Or is anyone not bewildered? Or how should we put it? How are we doing? Yes, this is a diagrammatical, transcendental diagram. This is not just an ordinary diagram. This is a transcendental diagram depicting Gokula Vrindavan. So the idea is that by chanting the mantra while meditating on the yantra, one will come to see it, Gokula, there, and Krishna. Just as much as by chanting Hare Krishna, you will come to experience Krishna dancing on your tongue. Yes. This is a related activity. Of course, chanting Hare Krishna is higher, really, or more important at least. This is actually the process that Lord Brahma undertook. So, this mantra then indicates the central world where Krishna lives, the center of Gokula. It is six transcendental words, Krishnaya, Govindaya, Gopijana, Vallabhaya, Swa, and Ha. In that sense, it's six words. It's 18 syllables, Kleem, Krishnaya, Govindaya, Gopijana, Vallabhaya, Swaha. It's 18 letters. In Sanskrit, this is 18 Sanskrit letters, or 18 syllables. 18 syllables, yeah. Okay. So let us go on. I hope we haven't lost too many of you or too much. Let's go on to the next paragraph on page 8. He explains a little bit more about this process. This hexagonal, great transcendental machinery. Now, of course, yantra means machine. And actually in the verse, if you noted, text 3, the very first line, he says, Karani Karam Mahad Yantram. This is the Mahayantra. This is the great yantra of Vrindavan. There are many yantras. If you go to Mayapur, you'll see on the Nrisingadev altar, is Nisringa Yantra. Same sort of thing, but inscribed in copper. In our temple in Radadesh in Belgium, they also have a Nisringa Yantra. Same sort of thing, but inscribed in Yantra with these shapes, with mantras on the, in the different parts. So it's like a deity. It's a form. Whatever it is addressing, it is a form of that. So he goes on to say that the principal seed, Kleem, is situated in the instrument as the central pivot. Now, of course, we have just read that in the translation that Krishna is in the center and he's supporting everything. Yeah. So in other words, Kleem is Krishna. Actually, it's Radha Krishna. So in terms of the yantra, the depiction of Vrindavan in this diagrammatical form, Krishna is represented by the Kleem. Anyone, now this is the process, anyone with an impression of such an instrument in his mind, in other words, meditating on the yantra, and concentrating his thought on such spiritual entities, in other words, chanting the mantra, can attain to the knowledge of the cognitive principle, or in other words, can become fully God conscious, actually. Can become completely God conscious, yeah. Through this process of mantra pasana, meditating on the mantra, while meditating also on the yantra, then you can realize that, in this case, Gokula Vrindavan with Krishna. Now, of course, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta made reference to Jiva Goswami's description about how when you're on this level of just chanting the mantra and meditating on the yantra, when you're on that level of practice, then you can only focus on one pastime. Whereas on the higher level, fully realized level, then you are there and you're just going, you're moving in Vrindavan and being swept by the pastimes of Krishna from one situation to another. So now, how do we understand this mantra in terms of being, having the form, or being like the mantra form of one pastime? This is an interesting question. So therefore, at the bottom, towards the bottom of page 8, he gives a more elaborate, he gives like an expanded translation of the mantra. This is where you see number one, Krishna Swarup. So where it says Krishna Swarup, he is like expanding on the word Krishnaya. What are we indicating when we chant this word Krishnaya? We are referring to the proper self of Krishna. Then, when we chant the second word, Govindaya, what is the import of that? Well, it's Krishnasya Chinmaya Vrajalila Vilaswarup. It is the true nature of Krishna's transcendental pastimes in Vraja. As you recall, the other day we talked about this name Govinda as being very important because it refers to Krishna as he relates with the cows and all the devotees. Yeah. So that means as he's performing his pastimes. So when we chant the mantra and we chant the word Govindaya, what that is referring to is the true nature of Krishna's transcendental pastimes in Vraja. When we chant the word Gopi Jana, this is referring to Tat Parika Gopi Jana Swarup. the true nature of his spiritual associates in Vrindavan. The cowherd men and cowherd women, or cowherd girls, particularly the cowherd girls, Gopi Jana. When we chant the word Vallabhaya, then a deeper understanding of that term is Tadvallabha, the true nature of self-surrender to Krishna in the footsteps of the spiritual milkmaids of Vraja. When we chant the word Swa, number 5, this indicates Shuddha Jivasya Chid Jnana Swarup, the true nature of the spiritual knowledge of the unalloyed individual soul. Now, my understanding of that is, here he specifically mentions the unalloyed spirit soul. We unfortunately at this point, we are alloyed with the material world. But in the unalloyed state, what is the true nature of our knowledge? That is the knowledge of our eternal relationship with Krishna. And 6, expanding the word Ha, Chit Prakritir Artat, Krishna Seva Swabhava. The true nature of transcendental service to Krishna is that the esoteric relation is established on the awakening of one's pure cognition. The way I take that is that, in terms of the previous one, Swa, that the true nature of the spiritual knowledge of what your eternal relationship with Krishna is, that Ha is referring to, like, you know, the manifest form of that, how you serve Krishna in terms of your eternal relationship. The esoteric relation means that very specific relationship which is established on the awakening of your pure cognition, on the awakening of your actual original consciousness of who you really are. So how does that sound, devotees? Be honest. How many of you are somewhat bewildered now? Be honest. How many of you are really quite bewildered by this? A few of you are quite bewildered. Okay. Well, what we'll do, we'll carry on tomorrow and still read verses 4 and 5. We'll probably go on to them a bit, but there's more to discuss here, and we'll try and sort of clarify a bit further what we've discussed today, tomorrow. Any comments or questions so far? Srila Prabhupada makes no reference to it whatsoever in his books. However, we are performing it in, not in this form, but we are performing it, because those of us who are second initiated are chanting exactly this mantra. And then there's a second mantra, which is the last of our Gayatris, which is also within the yantra, which we're chanting. So we have, you know, some sort of modified form. It's without the yantra. And it's more, you know, it's certainly based very, very firmly on the foundation of chanting Hare Krishna. It's not independent in any way. The thing is, this is the process undertaken by Lord Brahma. That's why it's being described. This is what Lord Brahma did. And we are, as we go on, we'll see how Saraswati initiates him and gives him this mantra. Yeah. So then he takes up the process. So, you know, this particular form of it appears to be, Jiva Goswami in Krishna Sandarbha and his commentary on Brahma Samhita, he refers to it in terms like, you know, it's something that people do. Yeah. But Srila Prabhupada definitely, I searched today, he makes no reference to it and he never taught it. So, you know, like I said, they in Mayapur, they use a yantra. I don't know how they use it, other than, I don't know if it just sits on the altar only, or if when they do the puja, there's some sort of procedure in which they worship the yantra. That'd be interesting to find out. But if they do, you know, it's like a very, very highly specialized and like a very rare form of activity in terms of Krishna consciousness as we know it. Yeah. So this we're just presenting basically for the sake of information. Yeah. This is a combination. See, he says you're actually meant to, you're meant to situate an impression of the yantra in your mind and simultaneously have the mantra within your mind. Well, you would, because the mantra is part of the yantra. Yeah. So the yantra, yeah. Perhaps there's not so much separation between the mantra and the yantra. Yeah. Yeah. Actually, the mantra, this mantra, is forming the six sides. They're the six boundaries. So through chanting this mantra, you realize Gokula, or Krishna's personal abode. Through chanting the Kama Gayatri, the last of our Gayatris, that then you more particularly realize Krishna in his relationship with the gopis. And that is why we find here, if you can read Sanskrit, you'll see the Kama Gayatri is written out by the petals. The petals are the abodes of the gopis in the yantra. So that Kama Gayatri is more particularly connected to the pastimes to do with the gopis, whereas this mantra is more particularly related to like a definition of Krishna and our position and relationship with him. It's everywhere. It's all around the outside. You know, the Maha Mantra is pervading everything. These are like detailed mantras which deal with certain particular aspects. Actually, unfortunately, we're over time, but I could just mention that Jiva Goswami says that in Brahma Samhita, text 30 and text 31 are examples, are other examples of mantropasana mantras. Whereas text 56 is an example of a Swarasaki mantra, because there, the difference being that Lord Brahma in text 56 is describing his realization of Goloka Vrindavan. But 30 and 31, they're descriptions of Krishna in particular features. You know, Hare Krishna is everywhere, top, bottom, behind, all around, running through, because it means service, that connection through service, loving relationship through service. But then these other particular mantras, like, I mean, just look at 30. What is 30 to do with? It's Krishna's form specifically. Text 31 is also to do with his form. But it's his form together with ornaments and garlands like that, and flute. So these mantras are like detailed mantras which describe specific features either of the spiritual realm or Krishna's form in a particular way or a certain pastime like conjugal pastime, like that. So in this way, they're kind of detailed. Do you follow the idea? Whereas the Maha Mantra is just all pervasive, definitely. And it's always the foundation. You know, we shouldn't think that now we've come across a higher process. No. We haven't. We've come across a more esoteric process. Yeah. And esoteric people like Lord Brahma, you know, they can do it. But for us, you know, it's here, so, you know, we have to learn about it. Yeah? I don't think I'm qualified to answer that question. In this yantra, the Hare Krishna mantra is going around the outside. See, I'm not much of an authority. I'm not any of an authority on yantras. Yeah, really. So I don't know if there's a Hare Krishna mantra yantra or something of that sort. But, you know, it's certainly a fact that the Hare Krishna mantra is running through this yantra on every level. Yeah. See, my understanding is that these mantras are different. They're different because they're like detailed mantras. They're referring to very specific features of Krishna or of his pastimes or maybe specific principles. Like this mantra here is not so much to do with a pastime, but it's more like the principle of surrender. Swaha. That principle of surrender. Realizing, oh, my relationship with Krishna, that's swa. Then entering into it, that's the ha, the esoteric, specific nature of it. Yeah, so there's specialized mantras to do with certain parts of the process of relating with Krishna on the transcendental platform. And the Maha Mantra, well, you know, it's more like a prayer. It's an appeal. It's a very broad type of thing. These even have, strictly speaking, the form of Vedic mantras. They're not actually Vedic mantras. Shruti mantras, if you know what I mean by that. They're not actually. But they have the Shruti bijas, kleem. That's a Shruti bij, kleem. We don't use that bij with the Hare Krishna mantra. We just chant Hare Krishna. Because Hare Krishna is very, very broad and very merciful. You know, I hate to say it. I think we may have to continue tomorrow. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing on with the purport of verse 3. We're right in the last stages. And we'll be referring to the yantra also occasionally. If you don't have a yantra, just look over the next person. We hope to get some shortly, some color ones for you all. Okay, so I'll just read the translation. I'll read the verses again for text 3. Karanikaram mahadyantram shatkonam vajra kilakam shadanga shat padistanam prakritya purushena cha premananda mahananda rasena vastitam hiyat jyoti rupena manuna kama bijena sangatam. The whirl of that transcendental lotus is the realm wherein dwells Krishna. It is a hexagonal figure, the abode of the indwelling, predominated and predominating aspect of the Absolute. Like a diamond, the central supporting figure of self-luminous Krishna stands as the transcendental source of all potencies. The holy name, consisting of 18 transcendental letters, is manifested in a hexagonal figure with sixfold divisions. So as we have mentioned on the first day, we mentioned also yesterday, as far as I'm concerned, this is one of the most esoteric sections in any of our BBT books.